Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis 4, Cain and Abel. The first portrait of life after the fall. It's grim. Sin is crouching at your door. What a phrase. Murder. I mean, you know the story, the Bible history. But so much more than meets the eye. Like standing at a war memorial or grave of loved one. There's so much more to the story to be told. And here, Genesis 4, after the promise of a Savior in chapter 3, you also see, as the church has always seen, you see the profound prefigured Christ, his passion, and the life-giving sacraments of the church, and even the mysteries of Mary, the mother of God, our Lord. It's all there. It's all connected to the church today and you. And hearts are exposed, revealed, even as yours today. The shepherd Abel's offering given in faith, sacrifice of a life, a firstborn, second recorded death. The first with an innocent lamb to cover Adam and Eve's sin after the fall. And Cain with faith in himself, who himself defines worship, defines what God accepts. For him comes judgment. Where is your brother? And then, am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Abel's blood cries from the ground as Cain is exiled, wandering like you in the world. Abel prefigured Christ, Jesus, a righteous shepherd with an acceptable offering of an innocent life offered in faith to God. Firstborn, incarnate of the Virgin Mary, murdered by the hands of his brothers, all humanity, whose blood cries from Calvary. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus' blood cries for mercy, reconciliation with mankind, to those murderers, for all humanity. Jesus' blood cries for you. In Hebrews, it's written, sprinkled blood of the new covenant speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Christ's blood cries out and brings vindication in his resurrection that answers Abel's cry. Jesus says, take, drink the new covenant in my blood, the Eucharist, the forgiveness of sins. His blood answers for you the sacrifice of the true Abel. Hebrews connects it to the sacrament. Yeah. In baptism, there, joined to Christ's death and resurrection, you're washed in Christ's cleansing blood that cries out for you. And even more, a baptismal mark of Christ on you, a cross. It says there, the Lord put a mark on Cain. It's a sign of mercy to spare a murderer's life. The word mark is also the letter T. You are marked by him to spare you vengeance, spare your life for eternity. And at the beginning, Eve's exalted cry. It's better translated, I have gotten the Lord. She thought she gave birth to the Savior promised last chapter 3:15. But Eve's firstborn brings death, murder into the world. The Virgin Mary conceives and bears firstborn a life into the world that will conquer death. Eve, the first mother ever to mourn the death of a son. Mary at the cross mourns her slain good shepherd, Abel. that by the incarnation, Jesus' humanity, a sacrifice, blood answers Abel's cry and answers the mourning of every mother and father, son and daughter. He answers every cry with his blood, with eternal life. At the cross, Jesus will say to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," as she goes into John's care. Woman, it's used twice in Luke's gospel. Also at the wedding feast in Cana, Jesus says, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come," referring to his death. Jesus gives supernatural wine. Paul says, "As often as you eat and drink, you proclaim his death until he comes again." By calling Mary woman, Jesus connects her to the first woman, Eve, even today in Genesis 4. I mean, it's all connected to the Christ, to the church, to you, a sacrifice, a wedding feast, the Eucharist, a new covenant in blood, God's mark on you that spares you from death to life. It's all connected for you to receive by grace. What have you done? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door, its desire for you, but you must rule over it. Yeah, sin is crouching at your door every day. Satan, like a roaring lion, prowling, seeking to destroy you in every relationship you have. What will you do? Live for yourself, excuse your sins. Like Cain, make excuses for your works and your offering before God. Live by your wants. The passions of the flesh, as St. Paul notes, exalt yourself. Or will you fight? Of course, it's hard. The fight against sin is a fight. It's not easy to deny the passions of the flesh, but you do it. And even if you manage by the grace of God to restrain yourself from scandal and public sins, you have the wickedness of your heart and your secret thoughts and all that you conceive of sin in your mind. You aren't better than the Pharisee you heard today. You need grace. Forgiveness. So humble yourself. Live repentant. Fight temptations. Sin, its desire to have you, but you must rule over it, God said. You must rule over it. Everything you've got. He gives you his word. Use it. Live by it. Live for God and others. Deny yourself. It's always worth it. The hymn for all the saints has words in it like, "Oh, may thy soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old." And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear, the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Faith, that you know the Lord fights for you, whose blood covers you, his sacrifice, his blood covering you, who truly did humble himself, death on a cross, exalted over death and resurrection. This is grace. This is your life. Receive it. Believe it. The Christ, the sacraments of the church, and thus you go down to your house justified. As our Lord says, you also humbled will be exalted. In the name of Jesus, amen.